chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. That's a few books ahead of Psalms. I've always had trouble finding it. It's page 326 in the Pew Bible. We're going to look at the story of Ezra. It's one that we don't know so well. And see if we can get some lessons that we can take to apply to our lives. The first six chapters, well, the book as a whole, is about the captivity and the return from the captivity of the people of Israel. The first six chapters are about the first return under a leader named Zerubbabel. And then chapter 7 takes place about 60 years later with a new leader named Ezra. The first five verses of chapter 7 are a genealogy. So let's start in verse 6. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the Nethinim, came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. This is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra the priest, the scribe, expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. Now, I kind of left off in a funny spot because I'm not really interested so much in what happens here, in what the character of Ezra that is mentioned here. Several times it mentions that he's a scribe, that he's expert in the laws of the Lord, that he's a man of the Word of God, is how he was known to his friends and to those around him, even to the king. He was known as a man of the Scriptures. And I think we need to ask that question of ourselves. Are we people that are known as being people of the Scriptures? Men of the Bible, women of the Bible. Is that who we are? Do our friends, both Christians and non-Christians, would they refer to us as, here's Matt. He's known for being, you know, one with the gospel. He knows the gospel. He knows the Bible well. If it's not, and I'm sure it's not in the way that it should be, then how can we change that? How can we make ourselves become people that are known for following God's will, for being people of the Bible? I think the way Ezra became this person is in verse 10. Let's read that again. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. There were three steps he had. The first was to prepare his heart. He was prepared to do it by prayer. He prayed. And if you go on to read the book, there's several times that Ezra prays beautiful prayers, both short and long. He prays beautifully. He prayed often. That's the first step. The second step seems simple, but it's not. It's to do the will of God. If we do the will of God, that's what people will notice. Ed Culp was talking about that last weekend. Step one is doing the Word, and people will know. And that's step two to becoming a person of the Word. And step three is then teaching it. It's then having it fill our lives and our speech. If when we're talking to somebody, we bring up a passage again and again, especially friends or non-Christians, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, if our words are filtered with the Word of God, then we'll be known as people of the Word. But it's not so much important to be known to others as being people of the Word of God as it is to be known to God as someone who is a diligent student of His Word and has it influence his life. That's what will really be important, is to please God in this. So that's the first step. That's the first lesson I want to bring, is to become somebody who's known by God's Word, who's defined, their personality is defined by being one with God's Word. So let's go on to chapter 9. There's another lesson we can get from chapter 9. The rest of chapter 7 and chapter 8 are the story of how they came to Jerusalem. And in fact, in the letter that we started, Artaxerxes makes Ezra the governor of the entire area. He respected them so much. Not only of Israel, but of Syria and all the nations around them. He's made the governor. And it's interesting sometimes, not all the time, surely, but sometimes how being a person of God's word has that effect, that we gain personal power, not because we want it, and we're truly humble about it, but because it's God's will, because the world sees the benefit of that kind of personality. But then in chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, there's a problem in Israel. When these things were done, the leaders came to me, saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands with respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, so that the holy seed is mixed with the peoples of those lands. Indeed, the hand of the leaders and rulers has been foremost in this trespass." There was a sin in Israel, a major problem. There were pagan women that had been marrying the leaders of the children of Israel. And this is a sin in the Old Testament. And we too live in a world full of sin. Let's see what Ezra's reaction is to this. Verse 3. "So when I heard this thing, I tore my garment and my robe and plucked out some of the hair of my head and my beard and sat down, astonished. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel assembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice." This is an incredible reaction to sin. He sees sin and he rips out the hair from his head. We need to have the same reaction. We need to think of sin in the same way. It's probably not realistic for us to pull out the hair from our head every time we see sin. But we should have the same reaction on the inside that makes us want to just tear our garment. We hate sin so much. You know, in this, and another thing we see is that all the people that loved God's word rallied to Ezra. And eventually, they annulled these marriages. That's kind of how the book ends. They annul the marriages, and the problem is fixed because one man stepped up and said, "I will not stand for sin." In the same way, if we will stand up and say, "I am not going to take this sin," people that love God will rally with us and will stand up against sin. But how can we become people that hate sin so much? I think the answer is to look at what sin did on the cross. We see the effect that sin had on Jesus, of the pain he had to go through to forgive us of those sins, of the mental anguish, of even causing the Father to have to withdraw from the Son and making Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then we will hate sin. When we look to the cross, that's when we will start praying to God and doing His will, because we hate doing sin, because we see what it did. And then we will want to teach others, because we hate to see them do wrong, because we hate what sin did. So I want to leave you with the message: go back to the cross as our motivation. Become true servants of God, true people of the Word. Thank you very much.